Sippers, welcome to the Friday episode of the Tea With Me podcast with me, Shane Todd. It's the Friday episode. You've got a Friday feeling. Who better to give you that weekend feeling than Dave Elliott? Dave and I were friends for about 10 years, but obviously we've had a massive fallout with the end of the Boytown podcast. We're going to go into that. We're going to talk about what his dad's been getting up to during lockdown. We're going to go into many things. Shout out to the Peruvian Wolf Boy as well. All will be explained. Sippers, enjoy the podcast. Keep sipping. You want to support the podcast, it's patreon.com/teawithmepodcast. Patreon.com/teawithmepodcast. You get the bonus episode every Monday that no one else gets. And my stand-up show from the Waterfront Hall last year is on there in its entirety for you to enjoy if you're a Patreon. Patreon.com/teawithmepodcast. On with the Tea With Me episode with, begrudgingly I'll say it, my best friend, Dave Elliott. What's crazy is this is the first time you and I have talked in, what, 4 weeks since the end of the Boytown podcast?
Since you personally decided to bring down the empire that was Boytown, yeah, this is the first time. It was my birthday yesterday and you didn't even wish me a happy birthday. So, yeah.
That's true.
Interesting.
What's funny is quite a lot of people think that we fell out and that's why we stopped doing the Boytown podcast.
Yeah, I got a message last night about the gig from someone saying, like, did Shane not show because you've actually fallen out? And I said, yeah, he's a piece of shit. That's what's happened.
All right, because then I also got a message in the middle of it from the same guy going, yeah, Dave messaged me and called you a piece of shit. I guess you guys are really falling out.
Oh, I mean, what I would like to say is, I don't even remember the guy's name, but he Michael. Himself, like, what is he doing? Like, why is he being such a little tattletale that he's going around going, by the way, Dave called you a piece of shit, you know?
Maybe he's trying to, like, curry favour with one of us in the hope the Boytown podcast will come back and he'll be the
host. Yeah, well, I mean, guess what he's done at the minute? A bad job of that. I mean, I think if Boytown, if it was ever going to come back, it's not going to be with him. It's not going to be with a tattletale. Boytown's not about being a tattletale little gossipy bitch, is it?
Well, it looks like you're wearing a little red tie.
A little red tie? No, I'm just...
Yeah, just the top of that looks like you're wearing a little red tie.
No, this is just obviously the new Crusaders kit because I got it. It was my birthday yesterday and the club weren't aware that I was such a massive fan, so just this shirt.
This was the thing in Boytown, and we're going to go back into Boytown and talk about that, obviously. But you've developed this new fascination with Crusaders Football Club, semi-professional football team in North Belfast that you've never supported before, and all of a sudden, you're wearing the new kit, you're talking about your favourite players. It's bizarre. You having a midlife crisis?
I mean, it isn't bizarre. I mean, I just happen to have been, a closeted Crusaders fan, because I know, like...
Did you come out to your parents?
Yeah, I did. It's fine for people to be, you know, people are like, oh, coming out as gay or whatever is tough. And, you know, and people are all supportive, rightly so, for that. But I find that whenever you're coming out as a supporter of an Irish league team, it's equally...
It's more taboo.
It is taboo, especially here. You know what I mean? It's it is what it is. And I, as you know, I've been a Crusader supporter for weeks, as long as I've lived. And it's a good time. I'm excited for the new season. Obviously, Ian Wilson coming on board is going to really shore up the defence. So
BBC Sport before this. Let me ask you this. Just tell me the honest story behind the top. Did you just buy the new top or did you get it bought for you?
Genuinely got it sent by Crusaders, right enough.
You swear No. Yeah, Crusaders Football Club did not send you the new shirt.
They did.
I am the only guy that gets sent local football team kits. So why are you now getting involved in this?
Because Crusaders know that I am a super fan. And it's like, what's the point in being a super fan and wearing an old kit?
So they contacted really you and said, Dave, we'd love to send you a kit.
Yeah, so we saw a clip, whatever someone had clipped from a podcast where you were wearing an older shirt and you're talking about Crusaders and we've got a new kit out. Would you like it? And I said, I was going to buy it myself, obviously, anyway, with the shorts and the socks and all the regalia, the training, the warm-up gear. And they just were like, we'll fire one in the post to you. So here we are.
Hate that. But how come I didn't see an influencer post from you being like, just want to give a major shout out to...
Because I'm not an influencer. I am a talented comedian, comedy writer, podcaster. You know, I am that. I don't have to be on promoting things. It's like Crusaders don't need their brand pushed. You know, the Crusaders are already they're not known, they're not called
the Crusaders.
I didn't say they're the Crusaders. Had Crusaders.
You said you the Crusaders, and this is why Boytown stopped.
No, individually, the team are the Crusaders because they are each player is a Crusader.
Right.
You know,
right,
and there's of course the Crusaders rugby league team, which I may, our rugby union team, sorry, I may start supporting as it's all part of the same brand. It isn't, but
I don't think it is.
We should embrace that. But yeah, it is what it is.
Right. There's so much I want to talk to you about, but let me first chat to you about stand-up coming back. And
first and foremost, I need to point something out just for the people watching the video podcast. I got some new gear for the podcast, and I have a camera. So my camera is here, right? But my computer screen's here.
I was going to say, your screen's looking good.
Yeah, so that's what's going on. So I'm
looking
at this camera. And you're here, so if you see me looking down, I'm looking at your wee mug when you're talking, you know.
What's great is we are just two 30-year-old guys that don't know technology, so I have no idea how you're doing that, but I enjoy it.
Yeah, but hey, man, I've got lighting, so I can set the mood if I want to. So I'd be like, oh, boom, it's gone red, Crusaders. What do you think of that?
What else can you do?
What do Crusaders play football on?
4G.
What colour is it?
Green.
Say no more, fam. There we go.
Oh, boom. Class.
A bit of a hue. If you're feeling a little bit dabba-dee, what colour are you feeling?
Purple.
Oh, I can do that, but yeah, you got it wrong. I can drop a blue in there too. I'll just stick the normal white because we all know if it's not white,
that's great. I mean, I'm very, very pleased for you. Let me talk to you about Pug Uglies came back last night. Yep. Stand Up is back. You're a comedy club. Is it good to get the legs stretched again? What's your opinion on, do you think, your opinion on before was you weren't going to do stand-up again until it was like properly back. Like you didn't want to know about these garden gigs.
No.
Didn't want to do anything. You were like, no, it needs to be proper.
Yeah, but I mean, I think when you are a talented, good act, you should be able to do talented, good venues that are appropriate for the act that you do. Like you wouldn't...
talented venues? You
wouldn't say to Liberace, come and tickle my Casio, would you? You would say, listen, well, it's going to be a grand piano.
I think he would have taken your bullet.
Get him in. Get him tickling the ivories in a proper piano, and you're going to get the best out of him. Do you know what I mean? Like, the one thing that I am definitely against, I don't know why I'm a Trump, definitely against, is the thought of doing a gig in a car park in front of people in cars. Like, that's not for me.
I was up for it, but I'm glad that never had to happen. But I knew I was willing to do it, but it didn't have to happen.
But
you did Pugs last night. Seemed like a very nice time.
But just on the other gigs, like the gig that Victoria Angelino does, it's in his back garden. It was very, it looked like a good gig. To be fair, it was
I loved
good.
It.
I would have done that, but just the timings didn't suit in that. It was my dinner time all the time, so I just couldn't do it. But it looked like a good setup, to be fair, and the limelight was good as well. The other week I enjoyed it, but there's just something a wee bit. I think something different about last night was that it was a new venue and a totally new setup. And obviously, I at the beginning was a bit like, "Oh no, everything could go wrong here because a new setup. It's a new venue, I haven't tried the sound before." Like, there's a lot of factors that are important to making a good stand-up night. And I thought, you know, being outside, the laughs might just disappear into the night sky and not resonate. But it was brilliant. The sound was brilliant. The acts were all brilliant. And the audience were great. And, like, because obviously now we have to do table service, it didn't bother because we're outside. So it was great.
I was saying on the last podcast or the podcast before, I mean, how good will it be when we're able to go to something as a punter, whether it's comedy or music? Like, you get shown to your table.
Or Crusaders match?
No, you get shown to your table. You always have a seat. Table service, no queues at the bar. It's great. Can I just point out before going any further, for everyone on the video podcast and you, this is just a little spot, like a little pimple on my lip, just in case you're worried that you can't kiss me at the radio show tomorrow night. You definitely can. You're not going to get anything. This is just a little spot.
Right, okay, as long as it's not like some sort of STI or something, which you don't necessarily, by the way, get STIs from just doing other sexual things. You can just get them. You know what I mean? You can just have.
Well, like you apply for it.
correct. You can just,
what's
it's kind of like, it's kind of like you can get an STI somewhere to the way you can get in the audience for the Blame Game. You know, you just put in for it, they tick at random, and either boom, 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 you get the STI. That's it.
Like the sex offenders register always sounded to me like something that, you know, they would run away prizes to enter.
Yeah. And speaking actually of the Blame Game and STIs, the last time I was talking to Tim McGarry, he was actually telling me he was going through quite a bit of treatment for a variety of STIs that he has. So I'm just want to say on this podcast, on this forum, big shout out to Tim McGarry. I'm a big fan of his, and also, you know, we're friends now, I would say, but I just want to say I just want to say, if everybody there on Twitter can just let him know that you're behind him in his recovery from the multitude of STIs that he has. Please.
Well, how many would you say he has?
Well, the ones he only told me about the 8, but he said there's still a few more. He hasn't been for additional tests to see what the extra ones could be. But he was like, it got to the point where I had to stop him and say, Tim, mate, it's not Pokemon. All right, it's not a badge of honor. Stop telling me what you've got. But he just kept going. I said, all right, mate, well, keep that to yourself for sure. But good. I mean, sending my love to Tim. Hope he gets better soon.
Yeah. Look, let's.
And it's good that he can get back into chemists again. That's all I can say. Thank God for that.
Did your dad get sort of know he was waiting to find out if the glory holes were open again?
Oh well, no, he actually was hanging about with him a bit. So I mean, I'm a wee bit worried that, you know, he might have just through, you know, whatever those two get up to together, caught something. You know,
what do you think the general etiquette was on, like, you know, glory holes, you know, dogging spots? Do you think over lockdown there was like a bit of a, you know, a message went around being like, listen, let's knock us in the head for a couple of weeks? Or do you think guys were living on the edge?
I think, from what I've heard, I think the glory hole scene, you know, it's underground anyway. They kind of there are certain maybe health and safety breaches already with the glory hole life.
One's putting it through the condom.
I know. I mean, no, it's not happening. But what I imagine would happen would be you would get a very cold shock when you go through the glory hole initially, because someone's going to be spraying sanitizer on it. So that's going to be like, oh, well, do that. And then it'll feel a bit different because there'll be a mask in the way. So it'll just be, you know, kind of like, you know, whenever you were younger, you used to hump pillows and stuff. It'll probably be a bit like that, I would say. So, yeah, I mean, I could ask Tim, you know, what the protocols at the glory holes are like, because I know he works there. So I'll ask him and see.
Well, you basically admitted there that whenever you were younger, you used to hump pillows.
Oh no, just guys I know did not. I'm not saying when I was younger I used to just hump guys. I did, but that wasn't exclusively it.
If you were in Game of Thrones, your name would have been Feathercock, because you're humping so many pillows.
Yeah, Feather Tip. Yeah, I'm Feather Tip. that would be a lot of fun.
you must visit Feather Tip.
And I would always have a quill, and I would tickle people with it. Why do they call you? Ooh.
But be prepared, if you're staying overnight in Feather Tip's house, you might wake up with a wet head.
Oh, pardon me.
Ooh, you got COVID.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I meant to ask you, have you done the test? Have you had a COVID test?
Oh, COVID test? I think I've been there before. The wee umbrella thing's a bit uncomfortable. But, it was weird. I went to my doctor to get a COVID test, and he just kept sticking cotton buds up my arse, so don't know whether that's the right test or not. But I mean, I haven't had an actual COVID test yet because I haven't had any symptoms. I've just been
What's weird is you're the most like susceptible guy to any illness that's going about. Like,
yeah, because I put myself in the face of germs. You know, I'm always around things that spread germs. You know, so it is what it is. I'm surprised you haven't actually got sicker since you've had the baby, you know, because obviously he's not going to like I don't know. Like, he's a big boy, so he might be going to school. I don't know. But, like, once I found my daughter started going to the nursery, I was just getting sick all the time because she was just around all these stinking wee kids. It was horrible. But thank God. Thank God for the pandemic. But she's not going to school anymore. Thank God for the disaster that has been these few months, because I've not had a cold. It's been terrific.
Yeah, on the upside, Dave Elliott hasn't had a cold.
Correct. I mean, and they don't report that. You know, they don't put that in the news, because I think, you know, that big would news. Cheer a lot of people up if they thought I was doing better. You know, I think it would help a lot of people.
Sippers, let me interrupt the podcast very quickly to tell you that we have a brand new sponsor. As well as Manscaped sponsoring some episodes, we also have, drumroll, Harney Tees. Harney Tees, let me tell you, you can have tees or you can have fine tees. And that's what Harney are doing. And I mean fine in a sense of like Downton Abbey, like fine tea, someone's fine china. I don't mean it's just fine. I mean, it's unreal. The Hibernian blend. Did you send me a big package of stuff here? The Paris flavored black tea. These guys know what they're at. Special English breakfast. Now, they could have just done an English breakfast, but they said, no, we want to make it special. What else have I got here? Sungulo broken. Now, that's the thing. That's that fancy. I don't even know what that means. So we're in a different category here. We've got the CBD cinnamon spice. Did you say CBD in tea? And did that rhyme? Yes. What else have we got here? Scottish Morn. Listen, Harney and Sons tea are in you know, to use a famous boy town adjective, bespoke. They've got a hemp range as well, which is brand new, and they essentially have tea for the more extravagant sipper. Go check them out. Harney.com or thehempdivision.com, which are like Joy Division, but more tea-based. Use the promo code TEAWITHME20. And that'll give you 20% off all products on Harney Tea. So harney.com, TEAWITHME20, all one word is the promo code. And you can just get Paris tea, bonjour, wee wee, for the sipper who just wants to take it up a gear. This is where you go, Harney Tea. On with the pod. What's your take on, like, the news? Like, do you think it's all fake news? Or do you, I mean, does Dave Elliott still trust mainstream media?
I mean, I'm going to go as far as to say, yes, I do trust an element of news, but at the same time, I think there's almost this subculture coming up now that people want to believe the fake news, or if something's reported that people don't like, they're like, fake news. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's very, like, I feel like I might start adopting that approach to, like, when I go to the doctors. He's like, oh, your blood pressure's fake news, mate. You know, you need to stop eating those tubs of fake news. I think you'll just find, and I stood up too quick. All right, he's like, but that will be your blood pressure. I went, listen, you're CBS. I'm not having it. I'm not. So I just feel like people are at home with their laptops. I'm such an old guy here. They're at home with their laptops and their mobile phones, and they're looking up stuff, and it's feeding into their mind, and they're going through lally. And that's, I think people are just looking for conspiracies and fake news and all this drama, when I'm just happy enough, you know, to get my papers on a Sunday and just, you know, as long as I get my papers on a Sunday and get a good kip at the end of the day.
The reason you know that our local newspapers aren't fake news is because the stories are far too specific.
Yes.
They're not trying to drive a big overall agenda. It's basically like, oh, fellas, budgie, you got smacked in McGalbury.
Yeah. I mean, I read a story today about a guy that I thought, you know, probably a light sentence. It was some guy from North Belfast. I mean, I'm not a Crusaders fan. He's a Cliftonville side, I assume, because these guys would do stuff like that. And he ended up, like, basically his dog bit somebody. And then he just brought the dog home and killed it with a hammer.
Jesus fucking Christ.
So, I mean, and I just thought, I don't like him, because I like dogs and I like hammers. They're very useful around the house, but I don't like whenever they're being used for things like that. And you know what else I don't like? And I feel like I'm one of the few people these days that don't like this, because I don't know what the fuck is going wrong with a lot of people. But, like, you know, videos that go around that are just completely horrific and stinking.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Someone
yeah.
went to me, mate, have you seen this? And it was like these two lads, it looked like they were in like a takeaway restaurant. A CCTV camera. This guy just knocked the other guy out, then just got on top of him, repeatedly punched in the face. Like, if I was in like the UFC or something, you have a ref to stop. The guy was just flat out unconscious. And then the guy showing to me then went, and this is a phrase that I wouldn't use for this. He went, gets better. And I went, I'm going to say it doesn't. You know, I'm going to say it's going to get take a horrific turn for the worse here. And then what the guy did was just turn the guy who was unconscious onto his front and like get him in an arm bar and just break both his arms, like dislocated his elbow. I thought, who the fuck's watching this, sharing this, like enjoying it? Who looks at that and goes, ah, that's great crack?
Well, do you remember when we were younger, there was, it probably still exists, there was a website called E-Bombs World. And weird guys in your class would always go, here, look at this. And I remember getting shown a video of a girl doing diarrhea and then drinking it.
And yeah, that's, and, that's and then not.
The exact, well, a similar video was a chef in the restaurant that I used to work in. He tried to show me it when I was about 15.
I thought you were going to say he was just eating his own shit.
He's like, frying it up. He was making like a creme brulee, like really artisan. really seasoned.
Just sprinkling
it.
Sweet corn on it.
He tried to show me that video and I was like, oh, what is that? Because I just like turned away. He's like, it's girls eating their own shit. And I was like, oh, and then he goes, here. And by the way, never has there been more of an understatement. He goes, there's probably easier ways to make £100. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, but like, I remember a website called Steak and Cheese.
Yeah, so did I. So did I.
And there were people who were just watching weird stuff in that. And I remember one, like, I don't know if it's the same video you're talking about. There was an infamous internet video that I think maybe started this whole grotesque trend called Two Girls, One Cup.
Yeah, genuinely never seen it. Never seen
that
it.
Might, but long story short, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen it, it involves two girls eating their own shit, and yeah, it's gross.
And whatever happened, who are they, like, and what happened to them, and how much?
What's
going to
be
for?
Awkward is they will probably end up, like, you know, working a job in the future, and some fella will be like looking over their wee cubicle at their desk going.
So if you were one of those girls playing for the job, and you know, yeah. I was interviewing you for insurance sales, and I was like, you know, great to have you here, and fantastic if you applied for the job, had a lot of interest in it, but just like to find out a wee bit about your previous previous work experience, maybe some jobs you've done in the past.
I was an actress for just one film.
What, you just did one? All right.
Yes, what, because was it was a tale about, it was just myself and my friend, hanging out and
brilliant.
You know, having essentially, again, obviously, just having a meal. You know, just right. Two friends just eating class. Dinner.
Right, and what was on the menu?
Well, wasn't it? I said dinner. Probably more, I guess, dessert. You could say more afters, definitely. Yeah.
What were you having?
I mean, you could say it was Angel Delight, chocolate Angel Delight. You know, I know we all know the old phrase, potato, potato, tomato, tomato, Angel Delight, human excrement. And yeah, so it was Angel Delight.
Well, you're going to have to put up with a bit of shit around this office you're in.
Listen, if there's someone that can take it, it's me. So there was that video, and obviously that was grotesque. And then one of them, again, why does everyone always have this one mate who will be the mate that ends up, you know?
I think I know who your mate is. Do I know your mate?
Yes. He would be a farm animal that can fly. But like that. So,
shout out Skype.
So he was like, oh, you've seen that, mate. What about one guy, one cup? And I'm thinking to myself, right, this is going to be one dude.
Yeah,
eating shit out of a mug.
He couldn't get a mate to join him.
No, I'm going to be like, it's a hard sell. You know,
like, over overnight.
Like, what are you going to do? Well, I was thinking of shitting into a jug brewer, and then you'd eat it.
But I'm showing the football too.
So that was fine, and then he was showing it to me, and I was like, and I said, I don't want to watch anything with shit, and he went. He goes, and he did it like a really dodgy salesman. I went, I don't want to watch anyone eating shit. And he goes, it's not shit, mate. And I went, well, in that case, I'm sure it's going to be hilarious. So it was this guy, and it was just like, he was just squatting down and you could sort of, you know, from behind, so you could kind of see his balls and his dick hanging down on his bum hole or whatever. And then he sort of squatted onto, it was like, you know, one of those wee pots you get in science class. It was like one of those wee, and it was quite a big, quite a wide girth. So he must have, you know, had his bum quite open. You know, it must have been warm in his house, I'm saying. So he sort of like squatted on it, and then this sort of like jug just was going up his bum. And then at the time, my mate's going, wait for it. And I'm expecting like we plop to drop into it or something. It broke. So the glass thing crushed in his ass and like obviously sharded inside, and all this blood just started running out of his bum. And I just, at that moment, even now thinking about this, the worst thing.
Zippers,
and
like I've seen, disgusted by this.
Absolutely disgusted. But you know, I hope that guy's all right, because I'm going
to
say,
well, ask him next time you go to your parents' house.
Well, yeah, he would require surgery for sure. But you know, it leads me on to the next thing. Have you ever seen like just an article?
I don't know what the link here is going to be.
I mean, this article, it's better banter than that stuff. That's horrific. I don't want to see that kind of stuff. But what I do like is, you know, ever see those X-rays of things that just appear in people's bum?
Love that. I fell on it. Yeah.
I've a load of time for that. You ever see the bit Ricky Gervais does about the guy that fell in the ketchup bottle?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was basically, long story short, he's like, I went to the hospital with a ketchup bottle up his arse. And he's like, oh, what happened? Very you story, to be fair. I went to the shop, I got my groceries, my house was locked. I climbed the house, my belt got caught in the gutter, I fell, landed on my shop and ketchup bottle. And the doctor was like, that's sweet. But I didn't know shops sold ketchup bottles with condoms on them. And there's another question. Why do people think that putting the condom on something is going to make it any better to get out of your ass again? Like, surely it's just not going to work if you're popping it the whole way in.
Don't know. I don't know. But that leads me on to, how did we first meet?
Well,
let's go back, because we could do a 50-hour podcast easily. But
I have to get my dinner here. So I mean,
what are you having? Shit.
Yeah, a big piece of my own shit. It's actually just in the pan right now. Delicious. Oh dear.
Swiss roll.
Oh gross. Right. Vegetable roll, even worse. So yeah, we met, I think, at a gig, like initially.
2010?
Yeah, but didn't we meet at we met before the Edinburgh Fringe, but not, we didn't really.
Black Box. Yeah, so you were in a sketch group. Were in a sketch group called FNT, Friday Night Therapy, who annoyingly did a lot of shows on a Saturday for a group called Friday Night Therapy.
Yeah.
But you were set up to like to try and be like Saturday Night Live and be on TV.
And
on,
I mean,
Friday
listen,
nights.
I'm gonna say a spoiler. We didn't. You know, we didn't emulate Saturday Night Live. It's been running for like 70 years. We lasted what, maybe 2 years?
Yeah.
It was a fun run.
And you and I probably hit it off, especially at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, because we were like, it's rare that you have two comedians that like that kind of like football.
Yeah, true.
We probably talked about that. We're from the same town.
Yeah.
Bonded over that. Just two cute young guys.
Yeah, no, that was it. Just two young guys just out on the scene. You know,
the reason I fell in love with you is because I love rap music rap music.
Oh, right, okay. I mean, I'm just too old for this. What is this rap music you're talking about?
It's music made by informants.
I mean, listen, I'm there for that, you know.
But I remember, I love it when a rapper wears like a white towel around his neck, like a bigger kind of rapper.
Scapatici, easy. What? That didn't work. Scapatici, that didn't work.
Nearly.
Easy Scapatici? Nah, doesn't.
Nah, definitely doesn't. But I really like it when a rapper wears like a white towel when he's doing like a live performance. Yeah. He's hot and sweaty. And you just were walking around Edinburgh. It was a particularly hot summer with a white towel around your neck every day, just like dabbing off little bits of sweat. And I remember going, that's a weird guy. I'm a weird guy. We should be best friends.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm one of these people that I like to put comfort first. You know, I feel like being comfortable, you can be your true self when you're comfortable. There's no point in me just walking around Edinburgh sweating buckets when I can just have this towel and just keep myself, you know, looking sweet.
Because if it goes up by a degree, you're out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not meant to be in the heat. You know, I should probably be dwelling in water at all times. It'd be my natural habitat. But
you're the opposite of Prince Andrew. Sweat wise.
Oh, right. Okay. I was going to say.
No, you're similar in a lot. No.
Well, no. I was going to say. Also, I'm not a paedophile. I'm the opposite. I'm in the old people. Like the older, the better. Ideally dead, but that's just my preference. But. But you were weird, obviously, because you're you. But
no, you would have probably looking at me being like, he does stand up, I like it. I would have opened for you guys quite a lot, which is a coup. And you probably aspire?
No, because you were very thin and I always thought that I could never be that thin ever. Because I'm a fat guy, so it would be hard. But like, my first memories was like you and Sean Hegarty just scooting around on scooters, and I was like, these are
we bought micro scooters.
What are these guys doing? You know, well, and
it was always like a mile from where we lived to Edinburgh. Now, with hindsight, we should have bought bicycles, definitely.
Yeah,
micro scooters were like £12 in Argos, so we got micro scooters and we used to just wheel about.
But I mean, I'm going to say Edinburgh's not the most conducive place for micro scooters. A lot of pebbly, sort of cobbled streets and things. It's not really ideal for that, is it?
I think I only used mine for a day. I think it was a cracker idea at the time, and then I was carrying a micro scooter about. And one day, I was micro scootering about and ran into Roy Walker, the famous stand-up from Catchphrase, and I was chatting to him. And he's like, why do you have a micro scooter? And I was like, oh, it's broke, Roy. And Roy Walker fixed my micro scooter. True story.
I mean, there's a great anecdote there. But yeah, you know what you would have been better off with? You know, one of those things that like, I mean, I don't want to, obviously, but I don't want to like, you know, stereotype people here. But, you know, I'm going to say it's a thing that I would associate mostly with Asian guys. And it's, you know, essentially like a one wheel. It looks like a briefcase, but you stand on it. And then you scoot about. The only guys I've ever seen scooting on those have been Asian guys. And they always have briefcases and they're going somewhere in a hurry. And I think, normally speaking, Asian people are like the smartest, most advanced in terms of technology. They're known for that. So they've invented this, like, is it a briefcase? Is it a electronic unicycle? I don't know what it is, but it's impressive. And I think that would have been sweeter than the micro scooters, really.
Than the micro scooter. And then you and I kind of think at the festival, because it was weird, you were in a sketch group with 97 people and you all stayed in the two-bedroom flat, and then there was mice where I was staying.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I can't live there anymore, so I came moved into your floor. I lived on the floor of the flat that you guys rented with 98 people. And it was a real fun month. Nobody had any money, which was great. Apart from you and Aaron Butler, who used to dine out at Frankie and Benny's every day, every day.
I mean, what I didn't realize at the particular time was that our group was completely dissipating. I think, you know, a lot of people were struggling. You know, we on Boytown the odd time would have a segment called Bounce Thoughts. I feel like I was completely oblivious to maybe some of the difficulties other people were having, whereby like they were just eating, they couldn't even, you know, afford the water to put in the super noodles. They were just eating hard super noodles and, you know, trying to like, if you lift your tongue, you can like shoot water out. They were just trying to secrete as much liquid onto the super noodles as they could just to physically swallow it. Whereas, you know, Aaron and I were eating three course lunches for each meal, in fact, every day. And
it was very massive of you and Aaron, because people knew you were in an Italian restaurant and people would know where to find you every day at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, you were like hanging out in Frankie and Benny's.
Yeah.
And I really liked that, because I was able to like join you a couple of times because you were split. How many people were in the sketch group? 13 or something?
About 13, 12 or 13 at that point.
Right, so Edinburgh costs a lot of money if you want to do the full festival, which yous were all doing. I was doing the free fringe, which would have made so much more sense for yous to do. You show up, people pay into a bucket. But I mean,
I'm just going to say, before you go on, common sense wasn't something that those in charge of that group had. You know, I mean, it didn't work too well.
But I was made, like, you were that skint then that your money that you made on the day doing the free fringe was your money for the day. You were living day to day. So if you had a particular, I remember Tim Vine came and did a set at our show and we got like £100 each, me and Becca that I was doing the show with. And then,
do you ever still speak to her nowadays?
Yeah, she doesn't do stand up anymore though. Just like one of those people that kind of is naturally very funny, but got into stand up for
to get into acting,
okay. Which I don't understand because I'm like, and has done like quite a lot of stuff, yeah. But I'm always like, that frustrates me because I'm like, well, even if you are good at acting and you've got the contacts now, still just do stand up because stand up's class. But
yeah.
She's great. No, I haven't spoken to her in a while. But what's great is
you should reconnect after this. You sent her a message going, "How are you, mate?"
Yeah, maybe I will. I do remember. We had, this has nothing to do with anything. We had to get a photo shoot done for me. So the idea was me and Rebecca Bowling were doing a joint Edinburgh show with a mystery headliner every day. So we weren't good enough to do an hour of stand-up. So we'd do 15 minutes each and a guest headliner would do 15. Did you ever do it?
No. Looking back on it, I'm very proud of myself that I'm still doing stand-up, having experienced those first few gigs in Edinburgh, because I was the worst.
Yeah, you're so bad. So we had to do a photo shoot because we were represented by the same agent. She lived in Folkestone.
Same what?
Like, we had the same agent.
Oh, right. They said Asian once again. No. I was going to say,
Asian agent. right. So I had to go over like 2 days before the Fringe to fly to London, then get a train down there to do this photo shoot. And have you ever seen the photos? It was like a tea party type thing.
No, but I mean,
they're really bad photos.
I'm very keen to see them. I'd like you to send me a couple of those if you can.
I actually might have one here, right? And if I do, I'm going to send you it. And then I'm also going to tell you that whenever I was flying that day, like just in and out of London for the day, I thought it was class. Yeah. I genuinely thought I looked like somebody that was on The Apprentice. So bear that in mind when I show you what I'm going to show you.
Well, I'm very keen to see this now.
I was like, God, I probably look like the CEO of a business. Okay, I've got it. You ready?
Yes, send me through.
No, I'm just going to show you.
All right. Oh, no. You know what? That's awful. Oh, so I can look that up now. I can see on Google.
Yeah, there's a lot worse ones than that.
You were a big fan of a sideburn back in the day, weren't you?
I used to have really long sideburns, and it's because I still can't grow a beard. I thought a sideburn was like a suggestion that I could grow a beard, and I was deciding to cut it off at that point. But it was a real bad look.
Do you ever notice like how weird like stand-up photos are? Like, it's always the same kind of silly faces.
Who's this guy beside me?
Yeah, and then those.
And like the shrug, obviously the shrug.
Yeah, or the... I don't know why I'm doing this. Mm.
What's the big one? There is like a real... Is it like the finger on the temple or something? There's apparently one that at the Fringe last year was used like 20 times by like well-known comedians. Yeah.
But I mean, you know what you don't see enough people doing? Is this...
Yeah, just the whole, what would you call that? The face stretch back?
I would say it's probably called the birthing, you know?
Oh, that's fucking horrific. Because when you were born, you looked like you do now.
I know.
Hello, you know, my poor
mum was just like a cocoon that just burst, like something out of Alien, and then this big monster just stood up. All right, lads.
With the Crusaders top on?
With the Crusaders top on. All right. But God love her. But yeah, so we had met, and what was even funnier was whenever I went to see one of your shows, there was this really weird old man that went to my gym, like very strange guy, and people would have known him because he would have always been doing weird things, and like you know people from places.
Yeah.
And I was at the gig, and then this weird guy from my gym was there, and he was like, "Fuck, are you doing here?" And I was like, "Fuck, are you doing here?"
Yeah.
And he was like, "Shane's my son." And I went, "Oh no, oh no." And then that was just another great moment that your dad was who he was. So I just knew your dad as a guy from the gym, whereas he was just actually your dad. So
yeah, I remember that
was
that too.
When we kind of started our bond as well, you know, before we obviously opened the massage parlor and stuff together. That was when we first met. So
you, my dad, and Wayne Lineker's massage. I was about to go up for with a name for it, and then I was like, I can't, yeah. I can't say that.
Okay.
But then fast forward to we did Boytown. Now in the last episode of Boytown, we talked about the history of Boytown, so we'll not really delve into the history of it. But let's talk about the legacy of it.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it funny that we were like, you know what, we'll put the brakes on Boyd Town.
Yeah.
We'll eventually revisit it way down the line at some point. Uh-huh. But like, people were acting like it was a national tragedy. Like whenever Princess Diana died, it was like,
I mean, listen,
an outpouring of grief.
That's their Boy Town. Like, it was nice to see, but also, this is going to sound very bitchy to me. It was nice to see, but also a bit, I was like, oh, where were you guys when we were fucking trying to, you know, where's the support when we're doing it every week, you know? So yeah. It's sad to see it go, but unfortunately, it just became a sort of collateral damage to life and consequences of other things. Obviously, my trial's coming up, and
yep,
had to step back. But
you're on trial with Crusaders.
Yeah, on trial with the Crusaders. Yeah, no, Tim McGarry and I have got into. You know, you could figure it out. But no, really, really speaking, we're just kind of doing it, like, because we felt obligated to do it. So
yeah,
maybe we weren't putting the effort in that we needed. We weren't like sharing. There wasn't as much content coming out. It was almost just like we were doing it for the sake of it. And then we're doing a radio show together. We're other stuff in the pipeline together. There's only so much we can do with each other. And I just think you were putting a lot of focus into this podcast. I want to put more focus into my own podcast, the Sly Guy podcast with me, Dave Elliott. So I feel like, you know, Boy Town was maybe becoming less of a priority, and therefore what was the point in carrying it on? And it's good. I feel like it's good. One of the things that would have annoyed me maybe was that it had been going on for so long, and it, like, I wanted it to be like one of the long standing podcasts, you know, one of the ones that, but you know, at the end of the day, life throws you lemons, and what you have to do with that is just make soup. Is that what they say?
I think so. And it's a delicious soup of opportunities. And what's funny is we're talking about doing a different podcast, but
yeah,
for someone else.
And also for Spondulix.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? We have to make it rain.
But that's funny that we'd be like, listen, we don't have time to do Boy Town anymore. And then if things had been quicker with the other one, I'd be like, join us next week for our brand new podcast.
But I mean, like, you know, people are probably going, oh, that's a shame that Boy Town's away, but you're doing this one. But you have to bear in mind as well, you've a family now, I have a family now. We need to be coming back with money, you know, as crude as to say, we need to be putting food on the table for the family. And if we're just doing something which is effectively, you know, for free, we are, you know, we have a producer on board. He was leaving his family every week for free. It's hard to justify to, you know, I mean, I don't want to speak out of turn about your wife or my wife, but two very, very aggressively needy, money hungry women who would just, as soon as I would get in the door, my wife would hit me with a ladle, and I didn't do the cooking in the house, so would have had to go in and get the ladle. Where's my money?
You had to put like a £20 note in every surface in the house when you came back in from the gigs, isn't that true?
Exactly. And then whenever we weren't getting anything for Boytown, I was just taking that out of my own pocket, the same money that I buy trucks with, and it's not fair for me to do that. You know what I mean? So
funny that people genuinely thought that we had fallen out, because like we have had arguments, but like we have never fallen out for more than an hour.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, barring my wife, you're the most like a relationship that of anybody I have. We are like an old married couple.
Yeah.
You know, and it is very like that. But one thing is, we'll never go to bed in an argument. No. You know,
we are like an old married couple, because there's been times where people know you and I are in a bad mood with each other, and they're like,
"Yeah,
oh, that's just the way they are." You know, and you and I are sitting there, and then, you know, we're like really going, like really sort of argue. Like when we argue, by the way, we're never like raising our voices or anything. It's just like it's sniping and it's silly.
Yeah.
And then say we're in a room with someone else and you and I are like really pissed off at each other. Mm-hmm. That person will say or do something, and you and me will look at each other like we're in school and someone's farted in assembly. And we're like, oh yeah, let's just be funny now.
But I mean, and that's a good thing, because I'd always said too that I think now we're at the point where we are friends above all else. So if, say, we did stop doing comedy or weren't gigging or doing podcasts, we would still be mates outside of that, which I think is a nice thing, you know.
Are we fi?
What's that mean?
Friends above all else.
I mean, fi elsewhere. I just thought, like, Ian, am I missing out on something else? I'd only just figured out what bae meant, and then what WAP means, you know, all this shit that I'm just learning as a ghost. I thought, what is this? Fail? Oh my god, this is fail.
This, like, is why my, is it when people, this is my, you know, it's FAAE. This is my thigh. What? My thigh.
And do you still have all else? Do you still have the present I bought you for your birthday, the wee key ring?
Of course I do. And it says,
is it on your keys?
It's in the door, but I couldn't be bothered going to get it.
Yeah, no, mine's outside there too.
But it says, is it bad bitches forever?
No, best fucking bitches.
Best fucking bitches. And by the way, yeah. I handed those keys over to a mechanic a couple of weeks ago, and I could see him look at it and go, I wonder what the other half of this means. And I was like, oh, no, it's like football, mate. It's Man United and all.
Yeah.
Speaking of birthday presents, got something enjoyable en route.
Nice. On to me, or?
Something coming to you.
Nice. I'll just turn my... Oh no, turn this, there we go. I put a wee red hue on me there.
I like that, that's what I hate that you know what? Something technological over me.
Sorry, what I'm going to say, see whenever I hit this red, it just looks like I'm really unwell and I have a blood pressure problem. Like, I'll put it back away again.
Oh yeah. You definitely do have a blood pressure problem.
I know I do. I actually do. Well, not a problem.
What's making you angry at the minute?
In life?
Yeah.
You know what? You know what is making me angry a bit at the minute? And I mean, this might split the room, but... The response our friend, our colleague, Stephen Nolan, has received for highlighting the behaviour in the Holy Lands. I just want to say that a lot of people are like, oh, well, Stephen Nolan's earning enough money. Why is he picking on the kids? I'm going, well.
They're making it sound like he's showing up to a youth club in a BMX and smacking people.
Which, I mean, if that's not a show in the works at the minute. Please.
Nolan will just, you apply for your local youth club and Nolan will come up and beat the shit out of the kids.
But you know, like, it'd be one of those things. Do you ever get it whenever, like, something is so unfathomable that your mind can't compute it, so you're, for a second, stunned? People would see Nolly coming down, just waking off on a BMX, and then they'd be like, is that Stephen Nolan on BMX? And then by the time they'd realise, fuck it is, it would be bad.
You know what the show's called?
What?
No one comes down in the BMX and beats the fuck out of your kids.
How can you imagine that at the start? Like the parents are just doing like a piece of camera in a room. It's like, oh, my son, he's a nightmare. I call him in for his dinner and all, and he just gives me a finger and he goes, fuck off, man. I'm like, I don't know. I can't, you know, he's robbing from the neighbors and all, and he's fucking stealing my money out of the cupboards and all. I can't behave him. And then Noli's all like, I'll make him behave. And the parents get to pick what the parents get to pick what weapon Noli uses. They're like, oh, you know, he keeps you know, stealing people's bikes, so I think you should use a bike chain, Stephen. And he goes, wrong.
Mervyn and Kate, what are you going to go for here? Stephen, we're going to go for the snooker cue. Okay, you've gone for the snooker cue, just puts it up his sleeve and takes
and
off.
And Stephen's going, ah, Alex, because the snooker cue's going to be hard to take in your BMX. Then they'll be like, is that Stephen Nolan a BMX with snooker cue?
He's going to bring it in a wee case and then assemble it.
Yeah, I know. And people are still stunned. He's going, here, do you listen to the biggest show in the country? Fuck yeah.
Well, yeah, it's been, and it's also reported in the news, apparently he's got a massive pay increase. And yeah. But what they didn't report is we got a bigger one.
Yeah, that's the funniest thing. That, like, wasn't that
we got an extra, we got an extra 400, extra 400K. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think, like, people are neglecting the fact that if it wasn't a pandemic, the students are all being arseholes anyway. Like, they're just out playing music. Fucking, it'd be a nightmare for people living there who aren't students. Be like, see, you know. And then Stephen, albeit, was going around being like, "Fuck are you doing? And they're like, the fuck are you at?" You know. And he's just like, you know, starting on them. But I, yeah, it's annoying for me at the minute. Because I just got the change of policy in relation to COVID, in that I can't visit my baby. It's due next week in the hospital. You know what I mean? And these kids are just out fucking getting on however they want. Yet I have to leave my wife and newborn baby in hospital by themselves. I think that's shit. You know, that makes me go, fuck's sake. Like, you know, we're sacrificing this shit. And you know.
You're definitely the sort of guy that on your way back from hospital, not being able to go back up and visit, you would call by the Holy Lands to have a stern word with everyone. And then you would hear that they were playing like maybe a song that you liked, like Akon, Sexy Bitch. And you would start to get a little bit of a vibe on you. Before you know it, you would have a tequila. And before you knew it, Catherine would phone you and be like, you're allowed to come pick us up now. And you'd be like, fuck that, I'm fucking rinsing Rugby Avenue.
Yeah. No, I'd be singing Grace wearing a Tyrone shirt in the middle of Holy Lands. Just with a fucking big barrack of old English. The irony of that. Just having a great time. But yeah, you know, I sort of feel like I'm the kind of guy who would, like, I would be looking at ways to breach COVID regulations myself to get into hospital. Like, I think I would do a bit of a Mourinho. You know, I'd get into the wee, all the dirty and hospital tiles and all, and just try to sneak my way into the maternity ward.
Well, what I would like to see you do is, like,
I mean,
just swap up to an open university course. And
I've got it better. You have just had a baby, correct?
Correct.
And was you do a bit in your stand about your baby being quite a big baby, don't you?
Yep.
What I would do, I would get you to put me in a baby seat and I'd shave my head and my beard and all. And you'd be like, he's grown too much. And then try and bring me into the maternity ward. And then I'd just get up and fucking burn down the corridor and see. I mean, that'd be a sight to behold.
If I paid you, genuine question, 250 quid today, would you shave your eyebrows off?
No.
How much?
A grand?
No, come on. 500 quid, shave your eyebrows off.
No.
They grow back in 2 weeks.
No.
You're a hairy bastard. They grow back in an hour.
No, the problem is my hair now. Oh, no, not here. I'll cover that. My hair here is starting to connect. So if I shave the eyebrows, it might just, I'll end up like one of those Peruvian wolf boys, and that's not a good look for anybody, like, you know.
Those guys don't look sweet at all.
No. It's like, imagine you're just a Peruvian guy, and then you meet a nice Peruvian girl, and you just get pregnant in a Peruvian way, and you go to
what
have
does that mean?
A Peruvian baby, and then it's born, and you're like, oh, you're one of these, like, 0.5 and 100 that's going to be a Peruvian wolf boy, and you're like, fuck's sake. And my mom and dad are all normal, and I'm this fucking Peruvian wolf boy. It's so sly.
That was my first ever email address, peruvianwolfboy@hotmail.com.
I mean, you know what else is sly? It's like, there's no, you know why, like, you know the way in the world now people try to embrace people with differences, like, especially in fashion, like, you would see a lot of, you know, that is a vitiligo condition, like Michael Jackson had. You see a lot of models with that very distinctive look. You have, you know, maybe albino models, you know, especially people with, like, you know, the London look, the gap teeth, they're everywhere at the minute. I would love to see, like, a campaign by Chanel with just a Peruvian wolf boy. Just set on the front of Vogue. I think they're missing a gap in the market.
Boohoo.com collab with Peruvian Wolfboy. He's done a range of short sleeve muscle shirts.
Just Molly May, then a wee X and Peruvian Wolfboy.
By the way, that sounds like an act that would DJ at a Love Island pool party.
Yes. Craig David and Peruvian Wolfboy.
Oh, rewind when the crowd say "boo," oh,
and then the beat, oh, and the army.
I mean, I think we all know Peruvian Wolfboy was going to do a collab. It would definitely be with Gillette,
yeah. Or Fate. It all comes off, and he's like, fuck's sake, all of Vogue right now, we don't want you anymore. Oh, poor boy.
Flymo, do your front lawn, do your back lawn, and do your bake.
You know, it'd be great. Imagine an agent or somebody's listening to this podcast and's like, fucking right. And they just go to Peru to try and recruit Peruvian wolf boys to be like, listen, you need this fella here. This guy's got to be the face of Versace. Get him on there. Go for it. Oh, it'd be great. How do we end up on this?
I don't know. Peruvian Wolf Boy. Obviously, let's be respectful and give him his real name.
Yeah,
sure. Peruvian Wolf Child.
It's correct.
But yeah, shout out to that guy. I don't know if there's loads of them or just him. But
and you know what? They speak Spanish there, so he's probably El Peruvian Wolf Nino or something like that, I would say.
I meant to ask you, the first question was supposed to be, do you drink tea?
I do drink tea, aye.
You and I drink a lot of tea together. How many cups of tea would you drink a day? And are you drinking more now that your wife's pregnant, you're about to have a baby? Or are you just doing that to sort of like settle yourself to drink loads of tea?
No, I'm more of a coffee guy normally. I like my coffee like I like my man, strong and black, that leaves a bitter taste in your mouth. And I also like my tea, but I would have a cup of tea in the evening because I'm on a bit of a diet at the minute because, as said earlier, high blood pressure, fat. So I'm trying to lose a bit of weight. So rather than having like, you know, a tub of Häagen-Dazs or a cake to myself, I'll have a wee treat. It's just a cup of tea. So.
Mm.
And I do enjoy it. And you know what I really, really like? That, like, it's weird because, you know, some people have this view of, like, say, stand-up or comedy, or that it's kind of a cool thing. They're like, oh, they're cool, like, partying guys. Nah, when I finished my last show, my, like, hour-long show I did in Limelight, sold it out, great time. I went, and on my way home, I stopped off in Tesco's. I got myself a new pair of slippers, these babies I've got here, a wee jug of milk. So I could go home after the gig, put my slippers on, watch Match of the Day, have a cup of tea and a biscuit. And that was what I wanted to celebrate the end of my tour basically with. And it was great.
That's why we're best friends. Limelight shows, 6 of them over 3 nights. Brilliant experience. Stand-ups back. Last show, people say you're going to have a few drinks and go out in the last one Saturday night. Yeah. Straight home with a carrot cake waiting for me in the fridge.
There you go.
Match of the day.
Perfect.
Nothing. The Peruvian Wolfboy remix.
But that was brilliant. Like last night at the gig in the Boneyard, a few of the boys were going out afterwards and staying in hotels and all and getting sauces. So I spoke to a few of them this morning and they weren't in a good place. A lot of hangovers about the place, and you know, I'm just sitting here enjoying myself working away, and I'm glad I didn't do it because I just can't cope with hangovers anymore. Too old for it. God love me.
No, we need to get we need to wet the baby's head whenever you're a little bit more settled.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sort of thinking it could be a bit weird for me. It's obviously I can't go in, and hopefully everything goes smoothly, and when the baby's born, we can get out the next day. But I just feel like it's going to be a bit shit having to leave them and being forced to leave them. Like, but
I told you what happened whenever I got sent home. I got sent home at like 9 a.m. Then I was allowed to go back up for like an hour. And then I basically got back home at 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. The second. So they stayed in for 2 nights the second night. And at 10 p.m., I think I got this right. And then I was like, geez, I'm not going to be able to sleep and all. And I was like distraught. I was like, I'm not going to be able to sleep another night without them, blah, blah. I have never had a sounder sleep. I slept from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. and woke up so fresh. And then I had to pretend I wasn't fresh. I was like, geez, I couldn't get a wink there. I got 400 winks.
Because that's what happened to me whenever my first child, Holly, was born. I was in the hospital and obviously my wife had been through a section, had the baby out, whatever, really struggling. Major surgery, sore stomach, pain just at birth. Things are happening to her body. It's horrible. And I was sitting there for probably about 4 hours at that point, and someone was like, asked her, are you okay? But they were looking at me, so I thought they're asking me. I was like, to be honest, I'm a wee bit uncomfortable and these seats are a wee bit warm and sticky. And my wife just looked at me like,
David,
oh really, you're uncomfortable, are you know?
I brought 442 magazine up for the labor. Hey, spoiler alert, didn't get a chance to read it.
No,
that's one thing. I would tell future fathers, which sounds like a shit indie band, is my dad's
absolutely
is that you will not get time to read 442 magazine during pregnancy.
Yeah, no, you won't. You have to kind of be there to support, don't you? Albeit there are things like you'd rather be doing, like, you know, anything really, because it's not a pleasant experience. But you know, reading a magazine, watching Match of the Day, you know, doing a gig probably, but you have to at least, for your partner's sake, be supportive. You might want to be, you know, you're obligated to in many respects, so you have to.
A bit like us with Boytown on the radio show, obligated to do it.
Yeah, but I mean,
not
listen,
out of choice.
I know, but the fact that I'm getting, you know, upwards of $2,000 a show, it's worth it. You know, it's worth doing that. Get what?
For the radio show?
I get, 2.8 grand a week. So.
Shit, I'm going to have to talk to someone because I'm getting 95
shit.
Pound.
Disparity.
Can you plug your podcast?
Yes, the Sly Guy podcast is out every Monday. It's going to move in and it's going to fill Boytown's hole and go to a Thursday.
Boytown's not even cold.
Yeah, but if you really want to see it on a Monday, you know, you can. I'll have a Monday episode on the Patreon, which is again Sly Guy podcast. So check that out.
We're in Radio Ulster every Friday night. I mean, for the next, what, how many? 4 weeks?
4 weeks. And then, hey, hopefully, who knows? There'll be something.
BBC Radio Ulster, Friday night, 6 o'clock. Me and this guy playing dance music. It's a nice time. Speaking of nice times, I've had a nice time. I have to go now. It's, what time are we recording this? It's 10 to 2. I'll probably phone you at 2 and then 3 and then 4.
Can I just say one really important thing before I go and message to everybody out there?
Yep.
Big season ahead.
No,
the cruise.
No,
get behind them, support them.
I need to find
the merchandise
and go for it. I need to find how to take this.